Don't worry,
Welcome
guys.
To the comics experiment. I gotta move quick while I got his attention.
Yeah, if you lose it, man, you better have one hell of an opener.
Come on, that was a great opener.
That was a pretty good opener.
Welcome to Comics Experiment right here at Comicstorian, where once a week I sit down with a list of guests over here and we discuss various things involving comic books.
Hey, all right, look at that right there.
This show is brought to you.
No, I'm serious. The Batman, the Wonder Woman, and the Bizarro. Now, it looks like Wonder Woman's getting ready to attack Bizarro. Bizarro's oblivious, and Batman's just like, what the hell? Is she really going to do that? I mean, look at that, man. That's how it looks.
You know, usually I get annoyed by his distractions, but that's actually kind of funny.
That's kind of cool.
Batman's just like,
you take a picture of that.
For the sake of the B-roll that's going to be made out of this, I'm going to take a picture of that so you can slap it on there.
Yeah, take a picture of it.
All right, hey, wow.
Are you okay?
Hey, everyone, okay? Everyone, Dan, hey, over here, buddy, hey, over here. Okay, cool. Welcome to Comics. God damn it, Rob. Welcome to Comics Experiment, the show right here at Comicstorian, where I sit here with a list of various guests and we go over various comic book stuff, from making fun of lists to talking about hot topics to just fun theorizing things, and sometimes we bring you game shows. This show is streamed every Thursday on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/eligiblemonster, where you can see some behind the scenes action and fun stuff going on. And I'm getting a phone call. Nope, that was not me. Someone else got a phone call. It's twitch.tv/eligiblemonster. And you can go over there if you want to support us more directly and see behind the scenes. You also get early access to this on our Patreon, patreon.com/comicstorian, where you get early access to the Comics Experiment, but you also get early access to things like our new show, CTV. You also get early access to Conspiracy Cast. You also get to see the Comic Story Weekly review comic books. And you also get a show where Rob eats hot wings and says nothing else to you. Did you hear my new show idea?
What?
You're just going to sit there and eat hot wings and say nothing.
I've been thinking about when you said hot topics. And I've been thinking about what it would sound like. Like, hot topic. Like when you take the Hot Pocket slogan and then Hot Topic and stuff.
I think that'd be an entirely different audience.
I've been thinking about that.
So guys, today's topic is going to be all villain-based. Villain-based theories. We're going to go through a villain-based list over here. And that's entirely because LEGO DC Supervillains has actually come out by WB Games. And Dan and I got the privilege of creating the characters in the preset menu. And we named them Red Stabby and Lady Cool. But if you were watching,
I was wondering where you got Red Stabby from.
It's from there. His name is Red Stabby.
He looks Red Stabby. Because I remember you guys were like Red Stabby versus Red Hood.
Yeah.
It's like Red Stabby would win.
Yeah. Oh, what is that? I made Red Stabby. Yeah. So we are trying to convince DC to put them in the comic book world, and we need your help with that. So send us all of your images of you playing as Red Stabby or Lady Cool in the game. Send them to me on Twitter. Send them to me over on Instagram. Send whatever you can involving Red Stabby and Lady Cool. And if I get enough of you guys to basically be like, Red Stabby and Lady Cool are some of the coolest superheroes or villains ever created, then maybe I can be like, hey, DC, hi. Hi, can I write a story about these two guys? He's totally not a Red Hood ripoff.
Yeah. Red Stabby, he wears a red knife.
Yes.
Or fan art. I'd love to see some fan art.
Fan art would be amazing, or Red Stabby and Lady Cool. So if you guys could do that, that'd be amazing.
Lady Cool.
Lady Cool. Cool.
You guys say it right. It's Lady Cool.
Lady Cool.
You guys are so white.
How would you say it? How would you say it, Rob? What is it?
Lady Cool.
I like the lip pursing with that. Yeah, it's like
you literally just did what we did, but in a lower
octave. Yeah, but I did it like I'm a black guy.
Right, so he can say the deeper voice. So I'll give this to him. So it does work that better that way, Dan.
Yeah.
The game overall, we are going to go into our villain list. We have the ranking of the 10 best and worst villains in superhero movies.
So in movies?
Yeah, in movies.
Okay.
We're going to go over that list, and we're also going to theorize if our favorite villains were to be involved in Forever Evil and become a hero.
Yeah, and we thought about doing the best and worst villains in the MCU, but then we realized that would cross over with another video that we wanted to do called like all the villains who shouldn't have died. It would basically be the same list. So we decided not to do that.
Right. Now, but anyway, guys, LEGO DC Super Villains is a great game. We actually had a lot of fun. And as the time of you guys watching this, when it goes live on Comicstorian, Dan and I are going to be streaming it for the entire weekend that this episode goes live. So you can find us over at twitch.tv/eligiblemonster, doing various giveaways and stuff when we go live on Saturday. So you can come hang out, chance to win the game. Come watch us play as Red Stabby and Lady Cool.
Lady Cool.
Lady Cool.
Lady Cool. All
Lady right. Cool.
Before you jump in, Gary, can you grab me a water?
All right, guys, so we are going to go over a list to celebrate the release of that game that we super duper enjoy. We have been playing it. We already got to do a whole bunch of it. Yes. Rob even got to go play it and had a blast with it.
Yeah, it's pretty fun, dude. Like, all the comic YouTubers got to go play it.
Yeah.
Which was good to finally see them again.
Yeah, it was a fun event. We did get to go to an event where we all got to sit around and play. Let's talk about that for a minute before we go into the list, because funny things happened to that. First off, I'm going to make fun of you for a second, Rob. I'm going to make fun of you.
For what?
So
I'm curious which...
Rob...
What did I do?
So here's the funny...
You
may be thinking about it. So we go into this room to play LEGO DC Super Villains before the game came out. Yeah. Okay? We all get to sit down on our own individual things, and they have us all put headsets on.
Yeah.
Okay. Rob was completely unaware of the volume of his voice.
Oh.
And I had to tell you, Rob, keep it down. So Rob is sitting, he's not next to me and Dan. He's about as close as like I am to Dan right now.
Yeah, I'm like a little bit further away, four or five feet away. Yeah.
And far enough that you can talk to each other, but not close enough that you could whisper.
This game is awesome, man.
That's exactly it. Dude, can you guys believe what's going on right now? Yeah. And the best part about that is Rob's station is in the middle of everyone.
Yeah, guys going around taking pictures. I'm just screaming at Benny at the top of my lungs. I wasn't paying attention. I had headphones on.
You did. And I think we all do that. We all put headphones on and then you start trying to yell like you're trying to talk.
That's why I always try and keep like one ear off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To which when I did it, like I somehow screwed up my hair, so I took it off and I just have this giant cowlick.
Man, that was the craziest thing though, man. It was like being in a testing facility.
It was.
Like everybody was quiet and just playing.
And it was super funny because a lot of the YouTubers, one thing you guys, when you meet up with these YouTubers and things like that, a lot of them don't know how to interact socially, and that's not in a bad way. It's just when you get into YouTube in general,
J-Roar has no social skills.
I was not saying that.
I know.
The Caboose, J-Roar, and Uncaged are fine. They check out. But normally when you get into YouTube, depending on how long you've been doing it, you haven't interacted with anyone. Because YouTube's a very solitary thing. You make your videos in your own room 90% of the time.
Yeah, man. There was one guy, when we all went to the bar after, there was one guy who was sitting over there by himself. And I was like, because I went over there to get a drink, and I was like, why are you sitting up here? Like, why are you here by yourself, man? He's like, well, I mean, it's clear you guys all have like a camaraderie. I don't want to interfere with that. I was like, how are you gonna be part of a friend group if you never join the friend group, man?
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
Like, come over here and talk to people and hang out, and everything will be like that. Like, nobody's gonna shun you. We're not gonna chase you out of here with brooms.
That's just the nature of YouTube. And WB Games was reaching out to people that actually would enjoy LEGO, so they didn't have all huge names. Yeah. You know,
they had some normal Twitch streamers too.
Yeah, they're normal Twitch streamers. Dude, they had the entire Injustice crew, so that's Caboose, Uncaged, and J-Roar.
Yep. Yeah,
J-Roar.
I was gonna say, I'm surprised you said their actual names.
So I've renamed them all. If you're fans of them, their new names are officially J-Roar. Caboose XL. Apparently, I'm calling him, and apparently it's not his name.
That's not his name?
Apparently it's not. So they've been making fun of it. So they mock each other.
No, that was his Twitch name. Or his Twitter name.
Well, apparently they changed him around when I wouldn't stop saying these incorrect pronunciations of their names. Huh. So apparently, I never mispronounced Uncaged name. So I renamed him to Recaged Gamer.
Yeah, I was there when he did that. Yeah, like, you are now Recaged Gamer. And I'm just like...
And he just laughed about it. Nah. And the best part is, Caboose and Ja... Caboose and Jay were both like, he's so gonna stew in that and just tell us later and never say anything to you.
Dude, J-Roar was getting so bent out of shape when we kept calling the wrong name. It's like, J-Roar, it's J-Roar. I was like, no, man, it's J-Roar.
We have a lot of fun with them. They're all great guys. Like, I have nothing bad to say about any of them overall.
Dude, that Jenga game was so fun.
Dude, Rob was insane at Jenga.
Dude, I wanna play against David again.
You got so loud there too, and you had no headphones that time.
Yeah, but I didn't care. We were in a bar, and I was slightly intoxicated already.
It was a weird bar with kids playing board games.
Yeah, they had kids running around.
And then Rob's got the Jenga set up, and he's just like,
Okay. So me and David Cage, like, we're playing Jenga, and I'm already like kind of intoxicated. And then here comes J-Roar with a Captain of Coke. He's like, here you go, man, more alcohol for you. I'm pretty sure I asked him to get it for me. And he's like, here you go, man. He comes back with another one. So I'm like, all right, man, let's keep them coming. And so, like, me and David were getting kind of crunk. And we were playing Jenga. It was amazing. It was really fun.
There was some crazy madness in that Jenga game where it was some of those moves where you're like, that should not physically be possible.
But it was the flick, man. Flick of the wrist. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was throwing salt on that
Dan had a funny moment as well, though. Dan was a little more impressive than yours, though.
Oh,
so
God.
So at this point, because Dan and I did go get to make the preset characters and everything, we've played that game a lot.
Yeah.
We down to the event. That's why I actually wasn't playing it.
Yeah.
Because we had already done all that. Yeah. And I had no interest. So I
was Hub World was amazing.
I had no interest in redoing it, knowing that we were then going to redo it again on streams. So I was like, Dan, you play it all this time. Because I think at that point, I had played more than you.
You had played more because you went to PAX as well.
Yes, yeah, so I went to PAX. and I had done a couple other things with that. Mm-hmm. So I played more of it. So Dan's playing the whole game, is just sitting there playing it. And I'm basically talking to the people in charge of the whole DC Lego Supervillains thing, just chatting about what.
I was wondering why he spent most of the time playing the game.
Yeah, it was because I'd already done all that stuff at PAX and everything. Yeah. So I'm over there chatting with them, and they realize that Dan has gone way past where they needed him to, and he's in spoiler territory that he shouldn't be playing.
Oh wow!
And they just blitz over, and they're like, "Stop! Yeah.
Like you're not allowed to see that yet."
Was it Cammy? Was she the one that came running over?
Yeah.
Stop!
No, it wasn't her.
But no, it was the guy that was there.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking quieter. I'm talking quieter in general.
Yeah. No. Okay. See, here's the thing about that Jenga thing. All right. The reason why I got good at that. The first year we went to PAX East in Boston, it was myself, Corey, Jacksepticeye, and Markiplier, and I got like shit on in Jenga.
Yep.
That's how it was. Like, funny. It was insane.
Rob, and that was the origin story.
Dude, I got wrecked so bad.
In Rob's defense, though, he was also pseudo nervous because when you start dealing with people of that caliber, you're like, I don't know what to do, and I don't want to piss them off.
Yeah, right. I was like, I have no idea. I was like, we'll go ahead and nudge this one out, and then Corey's doing crazy stuff. Corey's doing things like he's poking it and then blowing it out. Yeah.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah, okay, it's crazy stuff. Yeah.
The last time I legit played Jenga was when I went to the Singapore trip like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they had the life-size Jenga.
Oh my God, I would love to play that.
Yeah, and
the one where
that.
You're like, don't stand near it where it falls because you could die. Yeah.
Timber!
Get crumpled. Get
like everyone's running.
Jenga, run, everybody, run.
That reminds me of the time that we had a barbecue here at the studio, and I got like the not life size, but the oversized.
Yes.
Oh, Dan.
And we
had some good.
That was so fun.
That was
and
some
we were
fun
setting it up. And the problem with it was, as I was setting it up, I realized if it gets too tall, they're going to tip it over and break my TV.
No,
so,
I thought it was,
so we were putting, well, it was the fireplace the TV's right above it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm getting like pillows and shit and stacking it in front of everything. And
we had like a fort around us as we're playing.
It was like the most comfortable setup ever to play Jenga.
It was fun.
I could just like lay down and go on to sleep.
So yeah, I think overall though, Lego DC Supervillains, great fun. We're playing it on stream probably when you're watching this, unless you're watching this way in advance. But let's celebrate the villains coming out because this is based on the Forever Evil storyline.
Yeah,
yes.
God, such a great story.
And let's go ahead and do a ranking of the top 10 and top worst villains in movies. Now, we typically grab these lists from Screen Rant and we make fun of them, or we grab them from a culture and we agree with them. This one is IndieWire.
Yeah, because we're trying to make good with What Culture, so you know. What Culture Comics.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah, you ever need a list video? Hit me up, man. I'll record it.
So today we're doing an IndieWire one.
Okay. I have not heard of them.
So we're going to start, with the 10 best. Because
IndieWire, that's the one to spell with a Y.
No, no. IndieWire. And if you want to look this list up, it is ranking the 10 best and 10 worst villains in superhero movies.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. Number one is Scarecrow from Batman Begins. This is the best list.
Okay.
This is their number 10.
So they're including animated, right?
Yes, there's animated.
Hold on, so they consider Scarecrow to be the number one's best villain.
That's the number 10, so we're not at one.
Okay. I thought you said number one. Okay, I was like, it's Heath Ledger as the Joker.
I'll agree. I liked that portrayal of the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Because Scarecrow is a villain that can be very easily done as a crazy guy.
But he wasn't even that scary. Like, there was never a point in Batman Begins where I was like, oh my God, that's scary. But it was cool. His character was cool because he played someone who scared the hell out of other people.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And causing, hallucinations.
Which is why I liked it.
Yeah.
And then his mask becoming maggot filled was great.
That was awesome. Yeah. And making like Batman look all horrifying and everything.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was really good.
Yeah. Number 9 is Jason Lee as Syndrome in Incredibles.
Okay.
You've seen the Incredibles 1, haven't you?
Oh,
confession
yes.
time. Confession time. I have never watched The Incredibles.
What?
How can you give me so much crap for not watching shows and movies and never have seen The Incredibles?
I've never seen The Incredibles.
It's incredible.
I saw your face. You were waiting to throw that.
I really was.
I have never seen. What's the chat saying? Is the chat yelling at me?
No.
I have never seen. I have never. Yeah, they are.
They're,
I figured they were.
Yeah.
What's your problem,
Robert Ross Jefferson III?
I still can't believe you did that, Robert Ross Jefferson III.
Wow,
because Syndrome was a really good villain.
Yeah,
in that.
I've never seen Incredibles.
So Syndrome's concept was he was looking up to the heroes. It was a story we've seen time and time again in comic books. But he was, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is 2004. But he was a kid that looked up to the heroes, and they offered him a chance to become a hero, and then he felt he could do it better.
No.
No. Okay. What was
so it started off as Syndrome wanted to be Mr. Incredible's sidekick. Mr. Incredible was like, no, kid, go home. Like, I don't need you. You're not a superhero. Leave. Because Syndrome made all his devices. He was like an Iron Man style, like, doesn't have powers, but creates cool stuff that does that. He grows up to become a villain who basically has the idea of he's going to create all of these devices so that everyone could be a superhero, because the famous line of, because if everyone is super, no one is.
Hmm.
And so that's his whole thing. So he creates this robot that basically, I'm synopsizing the whole movie, that basically kills off a ton of superheroes. And he creates like devices and stuff so that he can take it out so that people think that he's a hero. But he doesn't realize he made the robot too smart.
Damn. That's the plot to Incredibles?
Even with some of those being spoilers, fantastic movie. Oh, yeah, go watch that movie.
I do have to see Incredibles 2, but since it's only a month like a month and a half.
I've heard it's not very good.
I heard it's okay, which is why I didn't rush out to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one I honestly, like, it... I guess I just missed out because it launched and everyone was like, oh my God. I'm like, wait, whoa, whoa.
It launched at the same time as a couple of things.
Yeah, it kind of was under the radar.
And I watched all those first and then we just never got back to seeing The Incredibles.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll leave it to the chat. Twitch chat, should I go watch The Incredibles?
One, yes.
Yes.
Of course I'm going to say yes, but I want the Twitch chat to be involved.
Honestly, it's kind of an iconic Pixar movie.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I feel like Toy Story is the iconic Pixar movie.
All right, so number 8. Actually, no, I'll agree with you. I will agree with you.
Yeah, well, of course you will. It's Toy Story.
Yeah. Everyone is saying, yes, you must.
Rob. Look, Rob. You got a friend in me.
Rob, this is the chat right now.
Yes.
Just yes.
All right.
Yes.
Just yes, yes, yes.
Number 8 is Samuel L. Jackson as Elijah Price in Unbreakable. He was incredible.
Oh, my God, dude, yes. Yeah. Dude, he's one of the most interesting and unique villains in any comic book-based film.
Oh, he's so great.
I'm so excited to see Glass.
Yes.
Jesus.
No, not Glass. Is it called Glass?
It's called Glass.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know what it's the one where they all beat up. Yeah, yeah.
God, dude, yes, he was such a great villain.
No, he really was. I got much more to say. Have you seen Unbreakable?
That one I haven't, actually.
Oh,
Jesus.
Okay, so Rob, you can't give me shit.
So no. Dan's going to watch Unbreakable, and he's going to watch Incredibles.
Dude, okay.
Fair enough.
Okay, so
one of the greatest moments in the film, not even a spoiler, one of the greatest moments of the film. He's sitting in the room with the doctor, which, by the way, the doctor he's talking to, as soon as the whole accident happens, that was the guy who played the head security guard in the Dawn of the Dead remake, 2004.
Hmm. Interesting history. I don't know whether that matters.
Based on his voice. But anyway, no, one of the coolest moments. All right, there's this thing that happens. All right.
Okay.
And like Bruce Willis is like, he's sitting in the room talking to the doctor, and there's a guy breathing in the next room who's basically dying. And Bruce Willis is like, why are you looking at me like that? And he's like, well, there's a couple reasons why I'm looking at you like this. He was like,
the opening to the movie.
Opening the movie. He's like, the first is that, with the exception, or I guess, including that guy, it's something like that guy's dying or whatever. Like, when that guy dies, you'll be the last person to survive. And he's like, and the second reason why I'm looking at you is because you don't have any broken bones and there's not a scratch on you. And like, they can't figure out why. Hmm. And like, that's, dude, Unbreakable is one of the best movie, dude. Oh my God, I'm gonna go back and watch this.
I'm
gonna go watch Unbreakable again. Dude, I love Unbreakable. The problem with Unbreakable is M. Night Shyamalan wrote himself into a hole. So it kind of ends. Now, with him making Mr. Glass and having made Split, having made Split, now the ending makes sense.
Like, okay.
The problem was that was never the plan, and he just legitimately wrote himself into a hole. But he could just say, well, I never wrote myself into a hole. This was the plan the whole time. And and then just write it off that way. But up until like the very, very ending, and I mean like when I say the very, very ending, I mean like the last 10 minutes. The movie is absolutely amazing. Yeah, Unbreakable is so cool.
I'll have to give it a shot.
Oh my God, it's an amazing movie.
So anyway, next up on our list.
Oh no, he says in a few minutes you'll be the sole survivor. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is really good.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I definitely would recommend
I recognize the name. So
yeah.
Okay, so number 7 is Tom Hardy as Bane.
Yes.
I'd put him a little closer to 1, if I'm being honest.
I actually don't like him.
I loved him as Bane. I love the character of Bane.
The voice. I don't like the voice.
I loved him as Bane until they had the revelation that Talia al Ghul was running the host show. And I'm like, okay, so this is basically Batman Forever again.
Yeah.
Or whatever Batman
And that's basically, I didn't like that role. Tom Hardy looks so different as Bane than anything else he's in.
That's the craziest shit, man. I saw Tom Hardy as Bane. I was like, dude, he's got to be like 6'4". and like 260 pounds. Like, he's gotta be like the Rock, just like solid muscle. You meet him and he's like an inch taller than me.
Yeah.
And he's just like small. And I'm like, camera angles?
Yeah.
You were trying to say, Dan, for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, actually.
Sorry, man, go ahead.
That one, that's actually a good example because I watched that movie before I got into comics.
Really?
And I really enjoyed it because kind of like the reason when we did our Venom discussion with Natalie, how she enjoyed it because she didn't have as much comic knowledge. And I feel like I enjoyed Bane more because of the same fact, because I had only really seen superheroes from the movies.
I could see that.
Yeah.
And no, I thought it was great.
That's why I think Venom's doing so well. No one really knows Venom because Venom doesn't have that much to roll
with. No, he's got Agent Venom. Other than that, he's a background character with a whole bunch of miniseries and some cool stories under his belt, and he's a Spider-Man villain. So
that's basically it. Yeah. Number six is Tom Hiddleston as Loki from the Thor, Avengers, and Thor: Dark World. Yes.
Man, I'd put him at number two if I'm being
honest. Oh yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
I don't know about much.
Your next five better be amazing in New Wire.
Yeah, because he is spot on.
He is, man. He's Loki, man.
Yeah.
Like he'll be typecast as Loki forever now.
Yeah.
Because that's the funny thing. After he did Thor, like when his career really blew up from like Thor, Avengers, and so on, he went and did, what was that movie he did? It was like a horror movie kind of, but not really. It wasn't really scary. But it was, God, what movie was that?
Which one?
Loki did a movie. It was kind of a horror movie, but it wasn't really scary.
You know his name's Tom Hiddleston.
Or Tom Hiddleston, yeah, whatever.
No. He's Loki.
He's just Loki.
Yeah, he's Loki now, yeah. So like that movie Loki Lofgren did. What was, God, I can't remember the name of it. But like that one just kind of fizzled. And it was like, no, you're Loki. So be Loki.
Yeah.
You know, like
that's... It's one of those ones where unless they do something drastic to the way that he looks, you can't not see expect Loki.
What's the chat saying? Did they say what the name is?
King Kong?
No.
No, I don't think it was Kong Skull Island.
What's that crimson one? Crimson Peak? Yes, Crimson Peak. Yes, okay. That's what it was.
Yeah, I think that situation with Tom Hiddleston, you know, because that's his name.
With Loki.
With Loki. Is the same situation as Bryan Cranston post Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, yeah.
You could not see him at anything.
And then he did Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he broke the hell out of that. But that's the thing, now he's Heisenberg.
Yeah. He went from one typecast to the other.
To the other, that's
he had a long enough stint between the two that I think allowed you to kind of not forget, but kind of forget him from Malcolm in the Middle. And then all of a sudden you get exposed to him and all you remember is, I remember him from Malcolm in the Middle, but not, I remember the dad from Malcolm in the Middle, kind of.
That's the thing. Yeah. And it took like people forget, it took like three seasons. Like he had to be like full on Heisenberg.
Yeah.
Before Cranston really broke away from Malcolm in the Middle.
Number five is Dr. Otto Octavius from Spider-Man 2, 2004.
Not a chance you put him before after.
No, Loki would go higher than him.
Yeah, no.
He's
way.
Good, but not that high up.
He's
in the list
not
good.
Interesting at all.
And the next one, number four, is Ian McKellen as Magneto in the X-Men films. Come on, Ian McKellen as Magneto was great. That was an amazing
trip. Okay. I mean, just, okay.
It's not his fault he's in bad movies.
Top four. All right, just based on that, like top four, Joker number one, Loki number two, Michael Fassbender is three, Ian McKellen is four.
Okay.
Ooh, like, I would do that.
See, here's my question, though.
Yeah.
If this is up to four, who do you think's gonna be one, two, and three?
Heath Ledger's gotta be
one. Heath Ledger's gonna be number one.
Yeah.
Just for no other reason than the fact that he died. And then like Michael Fassbender will be in the top three.
Okay. He's gotta be.
For number two, I think they're gonna put Red Skull.
You think Red Skull?
I think they'll put Red Skull as number two.
See,
he's the only villain that got as much Loki's the only villain that got more development than him, and he's had more development than like those two have
Red
had
Skull
more development
one
than anybody else. No, but like I mean, but think about how developed he was in Captain America.
Yeah, but
in comparison to other villains that have returned,
he's not as memorable, in my opinion. Like
you compare him to Whiplash. Compare him not Loki. Compare him to Whiplash. Compare him to what's his name from
Ultron?
Thor 2. Compare him to Ultron. Compare him
Malekith?
To
that was Thor 2.
Malekith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, Hela's got to be on there. Mm. I thought she was really good.
Hela was pretty good.
I enjoyed her.
But we only got three left, and you're really going to put Hela as one of the most
not
iconic.
Not in those three, but I would have put her at like nine.
They'll probably put Thanos as
right.
like one
well,
or
here
two.
We go.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go into
yeah.
the list then. Number three is Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor.
Oh.
Superman 1 and 2 from the 70s.
Actually.
Yeah.
I was hoping one of you guys were going to guess him, because I saw that earlier.
I didn't think Luthor. That far back.
I didn't either, yeah. They were talking about him all the time.
He was good, yeah.
Okay, so using that knowledge, who do you think number two is?
If we're using that knowledge?
That it goes back that far. Because I poked ahead, so I'm asking. Who do you think?
Villains.
DC
or Marvel?
You want me to give you a hint?
I do, actually.
DC.
It is DC. Okay.
DC's number two.
All right, don't say anything.
Okay, see if you can get this one.
DC movies. Most iconic villains.
And it's an older one, I'll give you that. And I actually agree with this.
Are they going with General Zod?
Yes.
Yes.
Number two is General Zod.
Okay, yes. OG.
He is good.
Okay. OG's General Zod.
Terrence Stamp is General Zod from Superman 2.
I'll give him that. Damn, dude. Okay, I can see why they put some of them where they did then. Because if we're talking about Gene Hackman from Superman.
Right.
And we're talking about General Zod from, then yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I don't want to look ahead. Let's put bets that they've placed Heath Ledger as number one.
All right, if they...
Based on the fact that we now know it goes back that far.
It's got to be him.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because where else would he be on the list?
Exactly. He would have to be on this list. There's no way he wouldn't.
Okay, chat. Who do you guys think it is?
Well, because I don't understand why we'd have number 10 as Scarecrow if Heath Ledger's not even on the list.
Yes, I would agree.
And he's got to be number one.
Yeah, he has to be number one. Okay, but who could it be that's not like that wouldn't be Heath Ledger? Because they're talking about movies, across. My question is, do they include animated movies?
Oh.
And if they include animated
Mask of Phantasm? Phantasm?
Oh my God, Mask of the Phantasm. Man, dude, please tell me you saw Mask of the Phantasm.
Hold on. Okay. Brandon just decided to call me, so I'm telling him we're filming a podcast.
Yeah, Brandon, if you're watching this, we're filming, man. Go do something.
It is Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger is number one.
Okay, good.
I was going to say.
Okay, that being said, I feel like there are some villains that should have made the list.
Yeah.
Some people in chat brought up a good one, Killmonger.
Yeah.
I feel like
this list, when was this list made?
Yeah.
2014.
Okay. So that wasn't out yet.
So we didn't have Black Panther. We didn't have anything like that.
But I feel like Michael Fassbender.
We didn't have the amazing Steppenwolf from the Justice League movie.
And this is going to be an unpopular opinion. I loved Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger. Here's the problem with Killmonger. By the time they made him interesting, they killed him.
Yeah,
that was the problem with Killmonger.
They didn't kill him. We're in Wakanda, the place where they literally unparalyzed a guy that got shot in the spine within a day.
I mean, but he's dead. Like, it's the Marvel track record. Like, he's dead.
Can we just talk about a moment, ever since the Black Panther movie did well, that they've been trying to make Wakanda a bigger deal, and they keep bringing in these, 12-year-olds that are like, I've ruled over entire nations! And you're like...
Yeah.
Is this the direction we're taking Wakanda?
What are you talking about?
In the comics, it was in Domino.
I stopped reading Ta-Nehisi Coates' Black Panther.
They're turning it into a nation where, as of the age of 12, they can run entire armies and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean, Ta-Nehisi Coates is a great writer, and its Black Panther was awesome at the beginning of, only all different Marvel. It's just the same story that stretched on too long.
Yeah. So I don't like him in space.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind the.
I stopped reading it when he went to space. I actually got into it finally because as a trade, it worked well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I really enjoy this. I'm really having a good time with this. And then he goes to space, and I'm like, and I don't even care.
I mean, Avengers of the New World and everything is really cool, but I feel like it's just he's trying to be Christopher Priest.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't.
You can tell who he idolizes as a writer.
Well, I mean, he's a great writer on his own.
So let's go down this list. I'm gonna go through 10 through 7, or 10 through 3, 4 real quick on the worst list.
Okay.
And then we'll see if we can guess the top three.
Okay. Hold on. Oh, yeah, this is the worst. Okay.
Okay, worst list. Number 10 is Ryan Reynolds as Wade Wilson in X-Men Origins. Is that even really a villain? He was a villain at the end.
He was a villain at the end because they didn't know what else to do.
Emma Frost from X-Men First Class.
Okay. Now, I want to preface this by saying, January Jones, you are incredibly hot. You are a terrible Emma Frost. Emma Frost. Stop looking at the list ahead. I shouldn't look at the list.
Yeah, stop looking at the parts that he's about to tell us about.
He's literally Rob's the guy that's reading the subtitles as they're coming up.
Yeah.
Bullseye from the Daredevil original movie.
Yes.
Colin Farrell.
I feel like this list isn't really fair though, because all the villains they've listed have just come from bad movies.
Yeah.
So everything about those movies were bad.
To be fair, there are bad movies
that had people that were good in them.
That's true, but they have not listed.
In pretty much the Wolverines. X-Men Origin Wolverine, not really the best movie, but Hugh Jackman is Wolverine.
I mean, with the exception of Days of Future Past, pretty much all the X-Men movies were garbage.
So, but Hugh Jackman always made a great Wolverine.
He always made a great Wolverine.
He's the only thing that really redeemed most of those originals.
Yeah.
That was pretty much one of the main reasons that they were worth watching.
All right, let me ask a question to the chat.
And Charles Xavier.
And yeah, Charles Xavier was cool. All right, I'm curious what your all's position is too. And I want the chat. I want your answer on this.
You've asked the chat a lot of questions.
Yeah. I have,
what is up with you? Realize that this is a podcast that goes live on YouTube as well.
However,
it also has an audio file.
Yeah, but okay.
To be fair, we do stream it on twitch.tv/eligiblemonster every Thursday.
But it's also fun though, because like I like to hear the chat's
opinion. No, you're fine. I'm just saying that this particular episode, you've asked them like 5 questions.
Yeah, because I want to hear the chat's opinions.
Since when have you cared?
I've always cared about the chat. I like the chat. But ever since I took a picture of them, we're trying to do that again. But no, okay.
Not in the middle.
Would you guys have Tom Hardy play Wolverine in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I could see that. Yeah. I could totally see
X-Men
that.
Movies. I think he'd be a great Wolverine.
It's one of those ones where I do have a man crush on Tom Hardy.
No, go watch Warrior.
You can't. But the problem is Wolverine is Hugh Jackman. That's the problem. It's so hard to give someone. It's just like going, oh, we're gonna make someone else Tony Stark instead of Robert Downey.
I mean, that's like. But people said the same thing about Christopher Reeve. Well, I guess the difference is that he died.
There was no option with that.
He was paralyzed and then he died. Okay, I guess I could see that. But like,
I think Hugh Jackman would have to fully retire from acting. For like the public to be like, okay.
Yeah.
I think that's what it would have to come to.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, anyway, 7 is Hector Hammond from the Green Lantern movie that we all pretend doesn't exist, including DC.
What movie are you talking about?
That movie that doesn't exist. Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face in Batman Forever.
They're just listing bad movies at this point.
Well, Batman Forever was not a bad movie.
That was a terrible
movie.
That was
a great movie.
That was a terrible movie.
That was a great movie. Even Gary agrees with me. No one can see his face, but he agrees. He's nodding and he's jumping up and down excited. Yeah.
That's never going to heal if you don't stop picking. It's like the best line, like the only good line in the whole movie.
Dr. Doom from the 2005 Fantastic Four and Rise of the Silver Surfer. Still the best, sadly, the best portrayal of Dr. Doom we've had on screen.
Why are they reminding us of this?
I liked the 2005
Dr. Doom,
one.
He looked like a crash test dummy.
No.
The remake.
2005 and 2007.
The originals. The first
Chris
two.
Evans.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Sadly, that's the best portrayal we've had of Dr. Doom.
God, I can't wait to see what the MCU does with him. They're gonna roll their sleeves up and get to work. They're like, we got a lot of redeeming to do, so let's get to it.
The Lizard from Amazing Spider-Man 2012 is number 4. So that gives us down to the top 3 worst villains.
Mr. Freeze, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's number 1. No, he's not number 1.
Nice to see you.
he cannot be number 1. The number 1 worst villain. I'm afraid they're going to put Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor in there somewhere.
I can see that.
But he was a great Lex Luthor.
Considering who else is on this list, I wouldn't put him there.
Yeah, I wouldn't
either. Because honestly, he was better than some of these other people that were.
I'm going to turn this around, doesn't cheat.
Son of a bitch.
I'm going to see what they are. Oh my God.
Are we going to be able to guess them?
2 of them you will.
2 of them.
Yeah. I guarantee you didn't see the original one. I'll give you this. Number 2, Rob, if you can guess the villain for this, because it's so obscure. It was from Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Yeah, that's the guy who got his powers from the sun.
What's his name? Do you remember his name?
No, but
he was, I actually know.
He was blonde and he looked like a shitty He-Man.
Nuclear Man,
yes. He looked like ass.
So number 2 is Nuclear Man, so who's 3 and who's 1?
I remember that.
I'll give you a hint. 3 is Marvel, 1 is DC.
Okay, 3 is Marvel. Huh.
Oh, number 1's probably Steppenwolf.
No, 2014.
No? Oh, yeah, 2014.
Yeah. That was when the list was made.
General Zod?
I want to let you know that you may have already said number 1.
Okay, it is Mr.
General
Freeze.
General Zod.
Huh?
Oh, no, it's
Mr.
Freeze.
I was trying to think of an ice pun that would work with this.
Stop freezing up. So who's number 3 then?
Yeah, there is no way Mr. Freeze wasn't on this
He's
list.
Number 1. Who's number 3? Marvel. Early 2000s.
Oh, so it's probably one of the X-Men.
Marvel, early 2000s. Sony.
Green Goblin?
No.
No, he
wasn't. You're close.
He wasn't horrible.
Oh, was it early 2000s? Oh, was it Topher Grace's Venom?
Yeah.
I was gonna...
That's my number 1.
Okay.
He was a terrible character.
So
oh, God.
It's like, we're finally gonna get Venom. Oh, this is not what I wanted.
God, man.
I was thinking him, but I was like, before I say it, I wanna make sure that I'm not, like, I was like, okay, X-Men.
Okay, so X-Men for the record, this is how we have to do these lists from now on. Yeah. This is a lot more fun than
this was a lot more fun. That was fun.
Yeah, Topher Grace was terrible as Venom. I don't think his career ever recovered from that.
No. Well, I don't think he did much after that, in all honesty.
I know he did Predators.
There's two people that everyone remembers from the past. Topher Grace and the guy who was on Scrubs. What was his name? The main hair guy?
Oh my gosh.
They both have basically
JD in Scrubs.
They both have come out and, like, they've both have said they're so rich at this point. They're literally just picking and choosing independent films they want to be a part of.
He's the guy that beat the crap out of the kid who spray painted his car for Punk'd.
Yeah.
Oh, that was hilarious. Yeah.
What was his
name? That's what
Zach Braff.
Yeah. But the both of them, I don't know if it's because they can't get good scripts or whatever, but they both have, like, in multiple occasions said that they're just kind of riding their fame from their shows, banking all that money, and you gotta think 70 shows still. I think I see. What do you see
still
more?
On syndication?
70 Show or Scrubs? Which one's?
I have not seen Scrubs on the air for a long
time. I never watched Scrubs.
Really?
Scrubs kind of ruined themselves with the seasons after, like, the main cast. When they
only
like,
had one. I thought there was a bunch too. There was only one.
That's all it took.
So it you've never seen Scrubs. Scrubs went between 7 to 9 seasons of the same main cast all working at this hospital, and they quit, and the NBC or CBS, whoever had it, decided they would do another season with a new cast because Scrubs is in a hospital. Why can't you do that?
Yeah.
Well, the reason you can't do that is because it's
It would basically be like going, okay, so that 70s shows were really good. Now we're going to do that 80s show.
They actually made that.
I know.
It was terrible.
That was the reason why I came up with that.
But that was a full spin-off. Yeah.
But it's still one of those ones where it's you related it too much.
Yeah that 80s show was ass.
Didn't it go like half a season? Didn't he make a full season?
Yeah. I don't remember.
I'm looking that up for 2 seconds. While you guys think about the villains that you would put into the Forever Evil event, which is the storyline that they took for the LEGO DC Super Bowl.
Do they have to be DC villains?
Any villain. Let's have fun. Well, for the sake of it being a LEGO DC Super Villains game, let's keep it DC.
Yeah, let's keep it DC.
Yeah, okay.
So what is your favorite DC villain that you would put into the event? So basically, the Forever Evil event is which the Justice League is captured because the Crime Syndicate came in, which is an evil version of the Justice League. And basically, in the Forever Evil event, they took over the planet, and our villains, Lex Luthor, Black Manta, Sinestro.
Basically, like the Justice League villains.
Captain Cold. They had to become their own Injustice gang.
Yeah.
And they became, so they were good guys because there was no good guys.
Yeah.
So who would you also put into that?
What was the whole list of people? Okay, run off the people who were in.
Yeah, I need to hear who actually was.
Yeah, I can't remember who all was part of
that. Who was a part of? We just covered the story. So it was Sinestro, it was Lex Luthor. There was B-Zero, who became Bizarro. They renamed him.
Yeah.
Black Manta, Black Adam.
Oh, Black Manta
Captain Cold. Okay. That was the Injustice gang.
So all the good villains, basically.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Well, you could throw a Harley in. Harley, I believe, was a part of, that was a Suicide Squad tie-in. But let's ignore tie-ins. Okay.
Okay. Good.
Okay, because if you involve tie-ins, then the rest of the rogues are out of the picture.
Yeah.
Bane became Batman. You remember that run, right?
Yeah.
You should totally cover that, Rob.
Bane becomes Batman.
You didn't.
Yeah, no, I never covered that.
You don't even know it exists.
I didn't know it exists. But I never covered Forever Evil either.
So let me tell you the plot of that real quick, because we already have it on our channel, so they can go watch it. Okay.
Okay.
The plot of Bane becoming Batman is Batman's missing, so Bane decides, well, without Batman, we need a Batman. He becomes Batman.
Huh.
He takes the role, and he saves the city. Batman comes back up, and as Batman is beating the tar out of him, he's like, I saved everyone! I was the good guy! And Batman's just beating the tar out of him.
Wow.
Just
Jesus.
Classic Batman.
Yeah.
Since when could Batman successfully defeat Bane like that?
Since Bane tried to become Batman.
Yeah,
slipping all that venom and shit into his veins.
I'm pretty sure that this is during the period where Bane was just no Venom Bane.
Oh.
So he was just like, I'm really strong Bane.
The crappy Bane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how he is now in DC Rebirth.
It would be good.
At the beginning of the... See, I am Bane. I love that story. I don't understand why people...
That 80s show didn't make a full season. It only got 13 episodes out and they canceled it.
Yeah, of course they did. It was a terrible show.
Horrible show. Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to take the challenge. I'm going to see what situation would put Joker on that team.
See, that's
come up with a situation, not just say who we think.
We
got to
put him on the
person.
Team. So I think Joker would, for the same reason Bane became Batman. With Batman missing, Joker would rather, because he kind of joined up with them in Dark Knight Metal.
Yeah.
So I could see Joker, seeing that there's no Batman, but thinking that there's a chance to bring back Batman, decides to join up with the Injustice gang. I don't remember where. I think if Urban Rangel, he was still missing. His face hadn't come, like, he was the cut-off face one.
I feel like he wouldn't join it for the sake of trying to become Batman. I feel like he would do it because he's like, well, Batman's gone. I need an actual challenge to go against the Forever Evil Batman, where he's like, well, I'll take this.
The Owlman fight?
Yeah.
Does anyone remember where he was during Forever Evil? Because Joker wasn't involved in anything, if I remember correctly.
No, that was during the period where Joker was missing.
Oh, I think Harley had a tie-in where Joker was tempting her or something at that point.
Yeah, but no,
he hadn't come back for Death in the Family yet.
Because remember they established the Joker in the Detective Comics annual or one shot or whatever it was. That was Detective Comics Zero, I think it was.
Okay.
They established the Joker, and the Joker ran off, and at the end of that, the Joker's face was removed, and then you don't see him again until you get to Death in the Family.
Okay, all right.
Or Death of the Family, rather.
So, yeah, because I remember that was one of the big things in the movie, too. Where the hell's the Joker?
Yeah, that was the whole point.
And
when
there was
that,
everyone going for the Joker's face was like a weird miniseries.
I don't remember him being.
Oh, yeah, Joker's daughter?
Yeah.
My first ever video I edited for Comic
Story. So I would say
the
Joker would join up simply because Batman's missing. Not to find a challenge, in my opinion, but to just be like, to fight Owlman, if anything.
You're the closest thing I have to Batman.
Because that would be his only challenge at that point.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay, why would Harley, since you guys have a problem, I'll name some villains. Harley would join to follow.
I wanted to get Captain Boomerang on it.
His thing was dumb in his tie-in.
Did he have a tie-in? Okay.
The Rogues had their own tie-in where they were trying to defend Central City. It was not a good one.
See, after reading the most recent Suicide Squad, where Captain Boomerang goes back and he's actually a secret agent for Australia.
He's a secret agent for Australia.
He legitimately is. And Amanda Walters like, what, you're actually a secret agent? He's like, yeah, why wouldn't I be? He's like, you lie about everything. He's like, yeah, but not that.
Wow.
It's great.
No,
I would love to see him do some stuff like that.
Okay, I would not include the Joker. I would include the Joker. I would not do it for that reason. I would bring the Joker in. I don't know how I bring the Joker in, but you would have Deathstroke become Batman.
I could see that.
That's what I would do. Deathstroke would be like I'm the only one that can be Batman.
I don't even remember what the Suicide Squad was doing during that event.
But I would have Deathstroke become Batman.
Okay.
And then... No. Deathstroke becomes Batman and dies.
Ooh.
And the Joker thinks Batman died. So the Joker joins a team to kill whoever it was that killed Batman.
That's what I would do.
Okay, so that gets the Joker on the team. Ooh. Harley Quinn would come with the Joker just because it's the Joker, because it's the classic Mr. J.
I like this one from Twitch chat. Joker would beat Owlman with a crowbar shouting, "You're not my Batman."
Oh.
Yeah, he would. You're not my bats.
You're not my bats? Okay. Yeah.
You're an owl.
I'm going to take this one to the chat. How would Eobard Thawne join? Why would he join? What would drive him to be a good guy?
Because he sees it as his chance to become the Flash, finally.
Ooh,
that would be solid. Yeah, because he always looks up to him, and he would look at Johnny Quick and be like, it would kind of be like the same thing as beating up Owlman of, you're not my Batman, of,
yeah.
No, like, you are not the man that I'm the Flash.
He would do it out of a psychotic break.
Yeah, I could see
like,
that.
He would celebrate that Barry's dead, and then it would hit him that Barry's dead, and then he's like, oh my God, like somebody has to be the Flash. And so like he would just be insane, but he would still be the Flash.
I do wanted to know, I did notice you did say Walker instead of Waller for Amanda Waller.
Did I?
Yeah. You said Walker.
I was trying to Amanda just let Walter. It go, but the Twitch chat does not want to let it go.
Well, good old Amanda Walker.
It's actually Amanda Waller.
The Twitch chat was like, did anyone else notice that Dan said Walker?
That's why
I've been having trouble saying things like I gave.
Oh yeah, you're not feeling well today.
Yeah.
So Hunter Zolomon joined Forever Evil. No, that's just more of the same
I
want to
make Ra's al Ghul a good guy.
Damn, how would you do that?
I can't think of how to make it work.
It would be like Injustice 2, where Ra's kind of became a good guy in his own mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was trying to wipe out humanity in Injustice 2.
Well, no, but Injustice 2...
I feel like Ra's would do it to try and resurrect the heroes in the Lazarus Pits.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Ra's, no. Ra's al Ghul would do that. But he would be the safe haven. Like, he'd be the place they go to. Like, when someone dies, they literally take him there.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I mean, you can't, like, no! No! Okay.
Yes!
No. Eobard Thawne does not join the Villain League. He does not join up.
Okay.
Barry Allen becomes Eobard Thawne. Barry Allen dies. They take him to the Lazarus Pits. He comes out, he snaps mentally, and he believes he's Eobard Thawne.
Okay.
And becomes Reverse Flash.
That'd be really interesting.
I think it'd be kind of cool. Anyway.
I'm looking at the list of villains, and like most of these are either already on it or they were easily explained. Like Deathstroke joined up midway through.
Yeah.
Catwoman joined up because she was with Batman.
But like assuming you don't go that route with Barry, no, you could literally turn it, like you could cast aside the effects, like somehow he managed, he got enough Dionysus. He just takes a big thing of Dionysus and just throws it in there, and it's like psychotic, you know, psychopathic tendencies are gone, and everything's okay now. So like that's the place they go to like heal and come back whenever.
You know, looking at this list of DC villains, okay, that are significant and they've stayed villains, and I've made this argument before that Marvel always takes their best villains and tries to make them into comic book characters and heroes.
Yeah.
Joker, Lex Luthor, Darkseid, Sinestro, Brainiac, Black Adam, Ra's al Ghul, Deathstroke, Two-Face, Vandal Savage, Anti-Monitor, Eobarthon, trust me, I'm going somewhere with this, Doomsday, Catwoman, Mongol, Bizarro, Riddler, Maxwell Lord, Captain Cold, Bane, Harley Quinn, Prometheus, Scarecrow, Parallax, Gorilla Grodd, General Zod, Deceit, Black Manta, Mystere, Freeze, and Cheetah is just the top 30 of a list of the top 100. I'm going to definitively state it, DC has a better villain roster.
I think Marvel has a better villain roster.
And most of these characters have stayed villains, and they've been problems with their heroes, and they have not tried to make them their own comic book.
I think the DC has more good villains, but Marvel has more villains that are good
characters.
Good characters well and kind of span across multiple heroes.
Yeah, I think Marvel has better developed characters.
They do get better developed because they try to turn them into anti-heroes, and we get to see a different side of them.
Yeah, Magneto led the X-Men and the New Mutants for a while.
And this is entirely opinionated, so please don't be being like, you're wrong, it's opinions.
It's the internet, man, there's no opinions, there's only facts.
But my opinion, I mean, I really think DC's just got a better roster.
They do have some amazing villains.
I think they have more well-known villains. I don't think their villains are better.
Well, I think they're well-known because they're better.
Mm. Yeah.
I think they're well-known because they're the villains of iconic heroes. Would Lex Luthor be as interesting if he was a villain of the Teen Titans?
Well, Deathstroke's a villain of the Teen Titans.
Yeah, I know, but Deathstroke's
kind of a waste of Deathstroke.
You have to name a team that doesn't have an iconic villain.
That's what I'm saying. Like, switch them around.
Yeah, no,
like,
I think they would work fine.
I don't think so.
Because Deathstroke fought Superman, and it was funny.
Yeah, he threw green rocks at him. That shit was hilarious.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The DC villains
are interchangeable. I think if Lex were to fight the Teen Titans, it'd be great. You would have to name, like, a really trashy group in DC, which exists. I'm not saying DC's perfect.
But I'm saying, like, if Lex Luthor was really got that good of a villain, Lex Luthor, I don't know. Lex Luthor wouldn't be as interesting against the Teen Titans as he would be against Superman. Because he's written to be like an intellectual equal to Superman, but not as powerful.
But DC has swapped the villains around a lot.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying.
Lex Luthor's really only fought Superman, I think Batman once. But
yeah, it's like Joker's mostly just Batman.
No, okay, so like here's a good example. The problem that Marvel has with their villains,
okay,
and this is the problem that DC does not have, DC, like, you're right when you say DC's villains usually stay villains.
Yeah.
Sometimes they switch around a little bit.
They'll have a moment, like Joker helping Batman, and then the joke coming, we will never talk about this.
Like, Cheetah's been an ally of Wonder Woman, but 90% of the time she's a villain of Wonder Woman.
But a lot of the time they do those, it's for ulterior motives as well. It's not always for good motives.
Well, no, like during Greg Rucka's run, like Cheetah, you learn the tragic backstory, like the tragic origin of Cheetah, the new one. And so then it's just kind of like, okay, so then he used that as a means for like Wonder Woman to help Cheetah, and then she basically screwed her over, and that's how What's-Her-Name became Cheetah in the first place. But but the problem with Marvel is, like, the best villains they have are villains that had like small moments, and they never did anything with it. Like Anti-Man, Connor Sims was an amazing villain.
What one?
Exactly. Anti-Man, Connor Sims.
And like, I will say this because you have a good larger knowledge. I mean, your whole Mad Jim Jaspers thing proves that. You have a larger knowledge of those obscure villains that have great moments.
But that's what I'm saying. Like Connor Sims, like unless you read the original Blue Marvel, Legend of Blue Marvel by Kevin Gervaux, or you read Al Ewing's Ultimates, you have no clue who Connor Sims is. Yeah. But he's an amazing villain, and he's powerful as hell. Like, dude, he absolutely demolished the Sentry. Like, when they fought each other, like, Sentry's like, I've never fought anybody that powerful before. And it's like, he probably never will, because he's just that damn strong. But, like, I mean, it was ridiculous how powerful Connor Sims was. But then you have, like, William Stryker, who was, he's super interesting, and he's really, really cool. But unless you read God Loves, Man Kills, or, like, three stories from New X-Men in, like, the mid-2000s, you have no idea who he is. Like, it's stuff like that. Like, Jim Jaspers was fun, you know, but, like, Nimrod was really fun. Bastion was really fun. But those are characters, like, most people don't know about.
Right.
Because Marvel never did anything with them. They were cool at that moment in time. But, like, Marvel never did it. Marvel does stuff with like, Emma Frost, and they do stuff with the Hellfire Club, and they do stuff with Magneto, and they do stuff with, you know, like, Galactus and Silver Surfer, like, the big mainstay villains. But the problem is, like, they're villains insofar as, like, sometimes are good and sometimes, like Emma Frost is a really good example. Like she led a group called the Hellions. She was part of the Hellfire Club, and she's the reason why Jean Grey became the Dark Phoenix, and you know, by using her powers alongside, you know, Mastermind, Jason Wingard, were to trick Jean Grey into making her think she was on a fucking pirate ship. Like that stuff was cool. And then now, and then she's been a superhero for like the last 30 years in Marvel Comics, fighting alongside the X-Men. So that is true when you say that, like, DC's villains stay villains, but Marvel, I think Marvel villains overall have much better development, and because they've changed so much, mm-hmm. I think they're better characters more so than they are villains.
I'll say when it comes to Marvel, the most iconic of the Marvel villains is entirely Spider-Man's roster, and I feel that's part of the reason why Spider-Man is as popular as he is.
I would say Red Skull too.
I'm talking about fully recognizable. Red Skull, I think, works more for Marvel fans, but he doesn't do much outside of Captain America.
Yeah, that's true. Okay,
I'm not going to disagree. He's not a good villain.
No, but okay. Like Doctor Doom.
But what I'm saying, the reason why I think Spider-Man is as popular as he is, and I actually want to get your opinion on this. Batman, I think, is popular because Batman's rogues are popular.
Yeah.
And they work well together. Superman is popular because Lex Luthor is a great rogue to Superman, and it helps develop his character further because of the mind versus Spider-Man's villains, because he has such a stable roster, I think helps him be so popular.
I don't think it's all of them. I think it's some of them. Venom, obviously.
Sinister Six. The originals. Six. Not like the nine variations.
No, but Mysterio is not that recognizable. Like you walk up to the average person on the street and you show them a picture of Mysterio and say, "Who is this?" They're not going to have any idea who that is. But if you walk
Dr.
Octopus, Green Goblin. Venom, Green Goblin, exactly. Those three right there are super recognizable. The Lizard, kind of borderline. Like those are really, really recognizable. Like you walk up to anybody on the street and say, "Who are these?" Sandman, I don't think so.
Well, I think people would recognize it. Yeah, exactly.
Because of the movie, they'd recognize. But like before, if you went back to like 1991. Before any of like the Spider-Man movies, Marvel Cinematic Universe, Blade, any of that stuff, and all you really had was like Superman and Batman 1989. And you walk up to anybody with like the Marvel roster and you show them a picture of the Joker, or not the Joker, the Green Goblin, they know exactly who that is.
Yep.
You show them Dr. Octopus, they know who that is. You show them, you know...
Kraven, you know. Some people saying, I can see Kraven's pseudo-recognized. Yeah,
I mean,
he's so unique as an appearance. So if you know anything about Spider-Man, I think you'd be like, I got Kraven.
I don't think most people would know who he is. Like, they wouldn't know the character. I mean, you gotta remember, most people know characters by face.
Yeah.
You're
not wrong. And we've moved into an entirely opinion-based discussion. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like most people know him by their face. Like they know the Joker because it's the Joker. But like I was telling, like you walk up to anybody and you show them a picture of Venom before the movie came out, before even the one with in Spider-Man 3, and you say, "Who is this?" They might not be able to say his name, but they'd be like, "That's the Spider-Man guy. That's the Spider-Man bad guy."
Yeah.
Or something
yeah.
like that. Like that's, you know.
That's evil Spider-Man.
Yeah, evil Spider-Man. And that's I mean, they wouldn't necessarily be wrong. But like that's basically what you get. Like they recognize the look of the character. They may not know the name, but no, I mean, like I said, I mean, DC has more villains to stay villains. I will give you that. They have more iconic villains, but I think in terms of better overall characters, I think Marvel's got them beat, hands down. Yeah.
I think this is the debate for the ages, and I think it's a really good point to leave our podcast off.
Yeah.
Because I want to know your guys. No, because I want to know the comments for this.
I'm sitting here thinking like comments that are going to be coming in for this thing. Rob didn't know what he's talking about.
Or Benny's clueless and Rob's right.
Benny has no idea what he's talking about.
You know what? Let's end it on this. Dan, who's right or wrong? Who has better villains?
So thanks for watching this episode of the Comics Experiment.
Turning all that anger towards Dan.
I am not.
You are wild.
If you guys enjoyed this, don't forget to join us for the live taping of this on twitch.tv/eldritchmonster, where you get to see some behind the scenes fun. You get to join in on the chat and things like that every Thursday at about 2 p.m. Eastern. You can also get the audio and get early access to this over on our Patreon, patreon.com/comicstorian, where we bring you various other podcasts, which include Conspiracy Cast, where Gary quizzes me and Rob about funny conspiracies, and then we go completely off topic and never talk about it, and we have our own little fun.
It's amazing.
You can also join us for Comic Storian Weekly, which is also filmed on Twitch and Patreon, but that is where Dan and I review all the comic books that came out in the various week, also on our Patreon, patreon.com/comicstorian. You also get another podcast over there, CTV. You get it early over there on the actual day we film it, as opposed to waiting until the Wednesday that it comes out. We've also got a few new shows that are going to our Patreon and going to my personal channel, such as Ben and Dan drink craft beer and talk about them.
And it sounds cool.
And there's also a morning show with me and Gary going up over there, and we have Benny Rants, and we also have Caitlin and Natalie talking about titties of the month. They thought about it.
Way you just roll that out there.
Right.
What do you want me to say? Titties of the month. That's what they want to talk about. So Anyway, guys, thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to check out Rob on Comics Explained if you want to get more of his spewings of misinformation because he's wrong about Marvel, but...
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Here's the funny thing on that plug. I was trying to make it like you were wrong in this discussion.
Yeah.
And the way I initially said it made it sound like your channel's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
I was trying to fix it mid-sentence. And
Comics
that was
incorrectly explained.
Whole thing worked. If you guys want to go hang out with Rob on his great channel, go to Comics Explained. I was trying to fix my I've turned his plug into like mocking his channel and that's yeah. bad. Oh, let me fix it. So I'm making fun of the discussion. Oh, it's not working.
I made it worse.
I made it worse. I'm digging the hole. And don't forget to check out Dan over on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/eligiblemonster, where he does a lot of the content with us. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time right here.
Peace.